You are listening to Daily Devotions with Pastor Robert Marsbach. We believe that these devotions will encourage and strengthen you. So tune in, connect, and be blessed. For any more information, please visit us online at lifechurchuk.org.
Welcome to Life Devotions. Thank you for joining me today. Purified as He is pure. It's the title of this devotion. You know, I'll read it to you a bit later, but Jesus said, the pure in heart will see God. If God is not as obvious to you, you don't see Him in yourself, you don't see Him in others, you don't see Him in the worship, you don't see Him in the preaching, you don't see Him in your Bible reading, you just can't see it. Then say, Lord, purify my heart. I've allowed my heart to be trodden upon by the busyness of this life. It's become too hard to perceive. I can't perceive it anymore, Father. Open up the eyes of my heart, Father. Illuminate my inward parts. Soften me, Father, by the comfort of your Holy Spirit. Father, I so long to see you in all that I am and say and do. I long to see you and those around me. I long to see you, Father. I long to see you when I read your word. See, the scripture says that my people perish for a lack of redemptive revelation. When there is not that illuminating of the Spirit of the Father, that enlightening of the inner man where you can see, then we grow weary in our expectation of God. And we kind of don't know anymore what to believe when we do know what to believe. We confess it with one mouth, and with the other thoughts, we kind of question it. And it's because you can't see anymore. And we can all at times become blinded, where we are blinded by the things of this world. And we need Jesus to cleanse our eyes. Oh, isn't it lovely how Jesus so longed to open the eyes of the people in those conflict moments. Remember the day after the Feast of Tabernacles, when he had cried out, if anyone's thirsty, let him come unto me, and out of his heart will come a river of living water, which he spoke about the Holy Spirit, who had not yet been given, for he had not yet been glorified. This John 7:38. And then the next morning he was teaching in the temple, and this woman was brought before him who had been caught in the act of adultery. And they said, the law of Moses said she should be stoned. What do you say? And they said this to trap him, to try to have some charge against him. But Jesus wrote in the dust, remember, and ignored them. Jeremiah says in chapter 17, verse 13, I think it is. He says, those who have forsaken the fountain of living water, their names will be written in the dust. And Jesus was expressing what was written to try to see the Holy Spirit penetrate the hardness of their condemning, judgmental hearts to want to stone this woman. And he said, after they pushed him and pushed him, then he finally looked up at them, not in anger, not in condemnation, but he looked at them. And he says, if you are without sin, cast the first stone. And as they looked at the purity of his heart with the light of God shining from it, they felt so convicted. How can I condemn her when I myself am such a mess? And all drew away from the oldest to the youngest. And Jesus then eventually said to the woman, woman, where are your accusers? And she said, there are none, Lord. And he said, neither will I. Go and sin no more. And then he looked at all those who couldn't throw the first stone. And he said, if you will abide in my words, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And they felt convicted at condemning her and saw her walk away forgiven when she didn't deserve such mercy. Yet they could not receive it for themselves. Hear me in Jesus' name. They could not, because as Jesus began to show them that they themselves needed forgiveness like she did, they got so offended with him that they took up stones and threw them. Sometimes, folks, we compare ourselves to the wrong thing. We say, well, I'm not as bad as him. Well, I'm not as bad as her. And we compare ourselves to those we think are less than us. We're not to compare ourselves to any man, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. No, we are predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. And when you look at Christ, you cannot condemn anybody else. He is the embodiment of true purity before God. But they took up stones to stone him when he showed them that they needed as much mercy as she did when they thought they were not as bad as her. Folks, Jesus went out of that temple, escaping their stones, and saw a man born blind from his mother's womb. And he put mud on his eyes that he had made with his saliva. And he said to the man, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which was so powerfully symbolic. And then the man came back seeing. And you see, Jesus said, for this purpose I have come, that those who think they see, judging others for their failures but can't see their own, may realize how blind they are, blind to their own failings and weaknesses and shortcomings, while they focus on the shortcomings and failings of others. I'm talking about pure as he is pure. See, purified as he is pure. And you can't see. You see their failings, but you can't see your own. And here's Jesus said, I've come to help those who can't see realize how blind they are. And I have come to help those who can't see to be able to see. Jesus wants you to be able to see. Oh, my goodness, Father. I need to change this part of my heart. This part of my heart blinds me to you. This part of my heart hardens me to you. This part of my heart deafens me to you. And I want this change, Lord. Create in me a clean heart, oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, wash me white as snow. Take away these thoughts out of my heart, Lord. I don't want to think this way. I don't want to ever, ever voice such thoughts to any man. And you just begin to humble your hearts before the Lord and say, Lord, wash me. Wash me, Lord. Wash me, Lord. Look what David said there in Psalm 51. It's so utterly heavenly, eternal language. He says, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me, but restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. You see, what God desires, David says here in Psalm 51, verse 6, is he desires truth in the inward parts and wisdom in the hidden parts, so that we from within can discern, nope, I'm not going to think that. I'm not going to say that. No, I'm not looking at that. No, I'm not responding. And you see, through purity, you notice what would defile you, and you keep yourself by the Spirit of His love in you from being defiled. In Mark chapter 9, I think it is. It is here somewhere. Okay, it's chapter 7 of Mark. It says, what comes out of a man is what defiles him. For verse 21, for from within out of his heart of man proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. We need to say, Lord, I don't want to have any evil thought towards any man. I want to love all men. I don't want to have any, what is the next thing? Adulteries. I don't ever want to have a familiarity in a way that doesn't belong. I'm married to Virginia. There is a familiarity we share in our love for one another. And I'm not talking right away about sex, but yes, that's part of it. But no, familiarity and intimacy, a communication that is so one-hearted, I cannot have that with anybody else. And shouldn't have that with anybody else. That belongs to me and Virginia alone. That belongs to the marriage covenant. And that familiarity is given and maintained and perfected by the Heavenly Father, whom God makes one, Jesus said in Matthew 19. And anything that tries to connect within that level of intimacy is called adultery. Adultery is not just what you do physically, it's what you do with your heart. Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, adulteries. Adultery is what you do in your heart, that you are trying to connect with somebody on a familiar level that doesn't belong to that relationship. And that is often why people fall into adultery, because they allow a familiarity that doesn't belong to that relationship. You got to really guard your affections. And then he says, fornication is the word pornography. Murders, where you have really vindictive thoughts in your heart. Thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, and evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. 13. And I want to plead with you. If you know that you've been predestined, if you know that now the Father has His love poured into your heart, and that you are His child, and that when you see Christ, you'll be like Him, having these thoughts, purify yourself. He says, verse 2, now we are the children of God, and it's not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Oh, hallelujah, that we know, having, he says then, and anyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. You see, it is a part that we play. We need to decide how we want to live every day. You have to distance yourself. And perhaps you say, I know, Pastor, I know. But I'm not doing it. I know, but I'm not doing what I know. What do I do? Trust Him to help you to do what you know you should do. Trust Him to enable you. He works the willingness and the ability, it says in Philippians 2, verse 12 and 13. Meditate on those verses. I'm going to read them to you out of this translation. Oh, I love these verses. They help me. They help me. Verse 12 of Philippians chapter 2 and 13. Therefore, my dear one, says, you have always obeyed my suggestions. So now, not only with the enthusiasm you would show in my presence, but much more because I'm absent, work and cultivate and carry out to the goal and fully complete your own salvation and with reverence and awe and trembling, self-distrust, with serious caution, tenderness of conscience, watchfulness against temptation, timidly shrinking from whatever might offend God or discredit the name of the Lord, not in your own strength, of course, for it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing, creating you the power and desire both to will and to work for His good pleasure, satisfaction, and delight. Believe. Now, let me close with you. Here, I read it to you, I mentioned it to you in the beginning. It says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, blessed, happy, enviably fortunate, and spiritually prosperous, possessing the happiness produced by the experience of God's favor, especially conditioned by the revelation of His grace, regardless of the outer conditions, are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I really do believe, friends, when I share this devotion from 1 John chapter 3, verse 3, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. That there is a working of God today, and it is going by the Holy Spirit throughout the whole earth, looking for those hearts who are searching for God, longing for him, and are loyal to him, that the Lord is working in us a desire to be pure as he's pure. Purity is never just a side issue. It is the fundamental nature of the Savior, that he was perfectly one with the Father, and that is the manifestation of that purity. And purity you cannot do without, and purity is impossible not to have if you have Jesus. If you have Jesus, the purity of his heart for the love of the Father begins to manifest in you and compel you and urge you to turn away from what defiles you and corrupts you, and to keep yourself undefiled and pure in the Father's love day and night, and trust the Lord by his Spirit and his great all-compelling love to work this in you. Amen. Have a good day.